Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here's the question, though. Is the culture real as to why this is not the same old Bears? It feels so to me. Does it feel that way to you, that the culture shift that Ben Johnson and his staff have enacted has had an effect all the way down the roster and all the way up the power structure?
Yes, and the results are there not only from a win-loss perspective, but the wide variety of players who have played a role in that speaks to the culture. And the guys who address things publicly, them kind of sounding like the head coach, that's an ingredient, that's a data point. But the effort they play with, that's an additional data point. And then in the end, the belief that's been necessary for them to come back and win these games. But you can tell all these players are locked in with the task at hand, and with the way they're being led by Ben Johnson, that all speaks to culture.
The accountability and all the attention to detail like you're talking about is a beautiful thing, and that is indeed what is contagious.
We've been faced with a lot of adversity all year, whether it's injuries, close games, just a lot of different scenarios, and I think we're able just to fight through that. Not really get down on the sidelines, not getting too high, not getting too low. So like I said, just proud of this group, man, because like I said, the other side of it last year was not pretty, and we're able to come on the other side, so just happy about it.
They have 8 wins and a negative point differential through 11 games, which is insane. But you can see how much has shifted, and you can see how much room there still is for growth. It is exciting to see all the growth that is still available here. And what was supposed to be a bonus year as they flipped the culture and built has turned into a year where on Friday they're playing for the number 2 seed in the NFC.
The history here hasn't necessarily been that. Ben preaches us fighting in those close games, and it's just not the same old Bears.
I would say, yeah, we don't feel like we're the same old Bears.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Spiegel and Holmes show. That opened courtesy of Tyler Feringuel. Baby T is in the house this week along with Alex Kuhn. I am Spiegs, and Anthony Herron is once again in for Lawrence as we're hanging out on a holiday week. Good to see you, Big Ant. I know it's a big week. You're headed to New Orleans for which game? To do which game?
The Bayou Classic. Grambling State, Southern University, the Tigers and the Jaguars. One of the great events in black college football. Be down there. I've been calling this game for NBC now for roughly like 14 years now? 13,
wow.
14
really?
Years? Something like that.
On color analysis?
Yeah.
For all 14
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a really cool, fun
event. Of course, the Battle of the Bands is what the game is maybe most known for, but
so
just a couple of amazing
Saturday?
Institutions.
Is that Saturday we're talking
that'll
about?
That'll be Saturday afternoon, 1 Central Time on NBC.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, really, really fun game to be down there for. And I mean, if anybody spent some time in New Orleans, you know it
of
is
course.
A fantastic food
of
and
course.
Music and camaraderie kind of city.
Get over to
Can't
Frenchman
wait.
Street, man. Get over to
there
Frenchman Street and walk in and out of bars and see high-level music at an incredible level. That's outstanding. I will add that to my weekend viewing.
Please do.
It's a hell of a weekend for sports. There are 3 football games on Thanksgiving. I just saw a note from Richard Deitch. He thinks that Chiefs-Cowboys is going to be the most viewed football game in the history of the United States of America. Yeah, and he had lots of reasons as to why.
I was
going to
say, okay, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out because I'm always intrigued by a prediction like that, especially from Richard Deitch. I would imagine it's kind of backed up and supported by some prognostication and metrics that lead to it.
But all that is just an appetizer. Yes, Thanksgiving is an appetizer for Friday when we get the Bears against the Eagles as discussed there in the open. We've got Matt Forte on the show today, and that's apropos since we're going to talk running game in a moment. Matt Bowen on the show today, and that is always great. I specifically am looking forward to talking to him about Dennis Allen and everything that he did. Yeah, big pile of mats. We got Matt Spiegel, Forte, Matt Bowen. We will turn the page early because, man, it's a short week. It is a short work week for us, but it's also a short work week for the Bears. And as we mentioned earlier, Caleb Williams speaks today, usually Wednesday. The coordinators speak today. That's usually Thursday. All of that on Tuesday means Chris Emma will join us at 5 o'clock with the latest on that. Along the way, you can text the show and call the show at 312-644-6767. We're broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we're going to give away some tickets to come join us to see Matt Forte. We'll do that during the Matt Forte portion of the show. We will touch on the Bulls today. We will touch on the Cubs and the MLB hot stove today as well. But
Matt,
ever since I've been here, for those who don't know, started at the Score as an intern in 1994.
Oh, I'm going to pull up a chair. I feel like a story time.
It feels like every football conversation I've ever been a part of, just from listening in those years as an intern and then a producer and everything, it was imbued with this kind of undercurrent of potential disagreement. Should they run the ball more? Like, I remember Doug Buffone's famous three keys to winning football.
Doug, tell us the three keys to winning football in the National Football League or in college or high school.
Three keys, and these may be the three keys of life. Run the football.
That's number one.
Yes. Stop the man with the skin of the pig.
Stop the run.
And finally, pressure the quarterback.
Oh. So, I mean, that's what Doug's philosophy was built on. But, like, this idea, McNeil would espouse it. Jiggets would espouse it. And then all sorts of different football people. In recent years, Dave Wannstedt, of course, screaming to run the ball. And so often it's been on the other side. Well, if you really want to partake in the modern NFL, you got to throw the ball like crazy. About 7 or 8 years ago, I think I locked in nice and firmly and comfortably in the you better run the damn ball camp. And I've spent the last like 7 or 8 years looking longingly at the top of the team rushing stats in the NFL and wondering how those good teams were able to run the ball so much. And like historically be like, whoa, look at those Niners. Man, boy, they just run the hell out of the ball. Or look at the Ravens with Derrick Henry. It's like, look at these teams that all run the ball. And all those conversations of previous years would be, or look at the Seahawks and Marshawn Lynch and all that. Like, well, you know what? Everybody would sort of mitigate them. Like, well, remember, it's about situations. Sometimes they're in front, and that means they can run the ball more. It's time and situation. Doesn't mean they're not bad. All that stuff. We've been on that conversation from the outside. Now look at the team rushing stats in the NFL. You looking at the team rushing stats in the NFL?
I am now.
All right. Who's number one in the NFL in rushing the football?
Team stats.
Yeah.
Rushing the rock.
It's the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Are number one. Okay? It's a good football team.
Very good football team with a trusted quarterback.
Sure.
An MVP behind center.
Sure.
But
a really good running back and a commitment to the run. Who's number two in running the football as a team?
The Chicago Bears.
Who's number three?
The Detroit Lions.
Damn good team. Who's number four?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Let's stop there for a second, shall we? Because right. Five is what? Five's Washington?
Yeah, five's the Commanders.
And then six is Baltimore again, right?
It is.
These are really damn good teams. And now we're on the inside of it. Would you Bears fans say that the Bears have good running numbers because of situation? Has the situation dictated that, well, they're leading, so they better run the football, and that's how those numbers get skewed? Hell no. Hell no. They run the ball because they need to. And it creates an identity. It creates, and this is what Ben Johnson wants to do. They then know that's something they can do, and it creates a confidence and a swagger. And like Olin told us a couple weeks ago, the run game travels. The run game travels. I have never perhaps more been emboldened and more understood the necessity of a run game as to establish who the hell you are in the NFL. And it's nice to be on this side of that instead of looking for some magical quarterback to be the freaking savior and be your Pat Mahomes when that guy just very often does not exist.
Okay, I'm going to start by enhancing your point.
Please.
But then calling you out on something in a moment as well.
Whoa.
So initially, the part that I have deep agreement with is the importance of the run game. And just as an old defensive lineman, I know what it could do to demoralize a defense when a team is just willing and able to run the rock at you over and over again. But then beyond that, what running the ball consistently, running the ball well, what it does, and even if you're not running it that well, but just being willing to run it consistently, it takes pressure off of other individuals on the offense in a way that just passing the football with volume doesn't. If you want to say, hey, QB, just sit in the pocket and read the full field snap after snap, that's asking a lot of your QB to just do that over and over and over again, because there's few things in sport that are anywhere near as difficult as that, to carve up a National Football League defense from the pocket. But to have a run game associated with that, it takes pressure off of the quarterback to have to do that consistently. It also takes both mental and physical pressure off of your offensive line, where they're not just sitting back in pass protection over and over again, trying to diagnose blitzes, trying to block this guy and that guy at angles that they're not aware of over and over again because of the exotics they get from some of these defenses. So that just enhances the way your offense can operate, because you're not saying, I'm just going to have this QB read the full field over and over again, and it's up to you guys to make me look good because I know I can drop some passing attack that's going to make this work. Ben Johnson has a commitment to that. He showed it in Detroit, and it's really gratifying to see how much of a commitment he has to the run game in Chicago, because mm-hmm. it makes the life of your quarterback easier, makes the life of your offensive line easier.
And look, I agree with all of that. Look around the league at the best coordinators, the best schemes that are rolling right now. Sean McVay's is built on running the ball and mm-hmm. then throwing it based off the run. Right? I mean, yeah. Kyle Shanahan's is yep. built on running the ball and then throwing it off the run.
Kevin O'Connell.
Same with Kevin yep. O'Connell.
Uh-huh.
Matt LaFleur. Like, and sometimes they can run the hell out of the ball. Yeah. All those teams can be multiple. Obviously in Detroit and Ben Johnson, and mm-hmm. now we're seeing it here with Ben Johnson. There's really only one dominant outlier in the NFL, isn't
and it's
there?
Always been Andy Reid.
Back
to his time in Philadelphia or his time in Kansas City.
So I can't even just say Mahomes. I got to just say Reid instead of saying
Andy
Mahomes.
Andy Reid specifically. Now, Andy Reid happens to be paired with Patrick Mahomes, and so that combination has made them into the dynastic sort of squad that they've become. But Andy Reid was being Andy Reid before he had Patrick Mahomes. When I was chasing around Donovan McNabb back in the early 2000s, and I was with the Falcons, they beat us in the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. That was Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb throwing the ball damn near every snap. And then when Bryant Westbrook got the ball, sometimes it's a handoff. Quite often, it was throwing him the ball out of the
sure.
backfield also, because before they had T.O., they really didn't have any receivers, but they still went. Once Andy Reid showed up, Donovan McNabb's passing numbers became exponentially better because he's got this amazing mind for how to scheme up the route tree, and he just tends to either forget or devalue running the football, even though it makes his quarterback's life so much easier when he does.
He doesn't believe that he needs to do it, but he finds like little short yardage things, like the screen game. Like their yeah. screen game is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll set that up. Like, you
sure.
know, you
the screen game would still be brilliant if he ran it more. But yes, it is certainly an extension of the run game, the way and the ability that Mahomes specifically has for the screen pass.
Yeah, and that's some original West Coast offense-ish
yeah.
right there to use it that way. But it's just, it's so few and far between. I feel like understanding the way that this works now has changed the kind of conversations we have about Caleb Williams. Like it should.
Well, it should.
I think it largely has.
I'm old enough to remember transition from about 20 minutes ago
yeah.
when you were talking about the playoff conversation and you were highlighting whether or not we trusted Caleb to be able to score points in an NFL playoff game.
Well, I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly why. And it ties to what we saw from Stafford the other night, which is that when you have to complete a short, like a small window down the field, because your options, like the chances that you get to be accurate down the field are so few and far between, you got to do that. And I don't know about his downfield accuracy yet. I just haven't seen it yet. And the dude's throwing less than 60% accuracy.
Yeah.
He's the lowest in terms of completion percentage of any qualified quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it's
apparently even lower than one unqualified quarterback because he's 33rd out of 32 teams, right?
I think if you take the qualified ones, it's down to like 26, and he's 26.
Okay, all right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, but so I don't know, because that's what he's got to have in his pocket, in my opinion, because a really good defense that is schemed up against the run means you better hit those chances when you get him down the field. And I don't know for sure that he can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair response by comparison. But the Bears offense as a whole is what I do place faith in. If they get into the playoffs, there's obviously no guarantees. But in living in the known, I do feel like I know that this is a Bears offense that can be effective against any defense in football. Now, does it play out? We'll see. Depending on matchup.
I don't know. I don't know. And that's the fun of it. Depending
it's
on matchup.
In the known.
Yes.
You tell them, Caleb.
And depending on whichever game that is, like, they could make the playoffs. They could go 2-4 the rest of the way. Make the playoffs as a 10-7 team.
Yeah.
And get a weird matchup and not win, and we still will be like, well, let's see what happens next year. You know what I mean? So we've got a great ride to enjoy as we're learning this stuff. I don't know if we're going to know it all by the end of this season.
I mean, we were having a very, I'll call it a similar conversation about Jalen Hurts until he led them to an appearance in the Super Bowl, and now he's viewed in a different echelon of quarterback in the sport. And so maybe that'll become Caleb at a certain point here, too. It's the same thing with Joe Flacco early in his career and Ben Roethlisberger early in his career and Tom Brady. And there's a certain point where you do need to cross that threshold as a QB for your franchise to be consistently in that championship conversation.
He's Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Are the bands, is that part of the broadcast on Saturday at 1 o'clock on NBC?
Yeah. Yep. The halftime
so people
show,
will see the bands.
I mean, they'll hear them damn near every snap between every play. Like, the rules are a little different in black college football. You're going to hear the bands nonstop. It's the human jukebox of the Southern University Jaguars versus the world fame Grambling State University Tiger Marching Band.
Top of the hour, we'll talk to Matt Forte about this running conversation and much, much more. When we come back, this man has been effective on defense for weeks now, but we're finally seeing it on the stat sheet. Why? Anthony tells us next on The Score.
It's living in the known.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
He's been heating up since the bye week, Tez has, and you've just felt it each week. He seems to impact the game a little bit more each week, and so I think he had two, is that right? And had a chance for a third, it felt like, out there from my count, but it's good to see that come on just like that.
It's Ben Johnson after the game. He's been saying good things about Montez Sweat for a while. We've got an interesting relationship with Montez Sweat as Bears fans. He was traded for and then immediately signed and had a huge impact right away. And then the impact seemed to sort of go away, at least the production did. And I guess the eye test sort of went away a little bit last year as well. But it's tricky, man. I thought when Montez said after the game that finally the stat sheet is cooperating with me, like, that was interesting because it's not as if he hasn't been playing well, right, Ann? And that's something that we have to learn to watch as we watch line play and football and stuff. But Anthony Heron played the defensive line at a very high level in college and the pros and more. And I want to know what you're seeing with Montez Sweat.
It's going to be hard for you guys to learn it. It just is. But I appreciate every effort to learn it. But there's just so much nuance to, you know, how you evaluate some
why?
Of these things.
Is it because we're narps? Is that why?
That's part of it.
We're casual?
That's because we've never sacked Tom Brady.
There's also that. There's a variety of reasons.
Is it because we've never called the Bayou Classic?
Oh, yeah. That's a big reason. That's a big reason why.
No, I'm looking for educate us, Ann. No, actually, wait a minute. Seriously, educate us.
Okay. For Montez, the way his game, and during the commercial break, there was something that got played that kind of put me in the mind of, you know, oh, I think it was heating up. He's heating up. He's not on fire yet. Yeah. It made me think of, what is that, NBA Jam?
Yes,
is that what that's from? Yeah.
Yes,
he's not on fire yet, but I agree he's heating up. And for Montez specifically, 2024, the film was not great for Montez. He was still playing hard, but he was just spending so much time glued to blockers. But part of that was because of injury. Part of that was because he's a physical football player with the way he attacks blocks. Even as a pass rusher, he prefers to start down the middle and then work off of the rush from there.
You're talking about one-on-one. He prefers to start down the middle of the body.
Right. He's a bull rusher, a power rusher, most consistently with the way he tries to condense and compress the pocket. That's why I was confident physically he would fit in with how Dennis Allen likes to operate, because he does like big physical defensive ends. But then to be able to get off of that block and make a play, that's where to be able to change it up more. I think we've seen more and more of that from Montez. It was the Raiders game earlier in the season was a game where Montez did spend more time coming out of his stance and just working to the edge of some of the opponents, some of the offensive tackles that he was rushing against. And it was a game where Max Crosby was just unblockable. But when you're comparing a Montez Sweat with a Max Crosby, they're just different styles of football players. They play the same position, but Crosby is constantly avoiding blocks, getting into creases, flying up the field, not necessarily even, you know, through his gap, but not with a lot of regard for the linebackers behind him opening up these cavernous run lanes, because he's not trying to impact the block. He's just trying to impact, if he can, the handoff or the snap of the football because of the way he gets up the field.
So that's a really interesting point. I think most of the defensive ends that we picture, whether it's Richard Dent using the body bend and going under and around, or even Robert Quinn during his big year here, or Khalil Mack with pure speed, very often we're picturing guys who do what Crosby does, where they find a way around somebody and then try to get to the point. That's not what Montez is.
No, not at all. And even for Khalil Mack, he's a diminutive guy as a defensive end or edge defender, but he does rush with power. Like, you'll see him just run over an offensive tackle at times,
so
too.
So my error to include Mack. Get back to Montez.
Sure,
you're on
but
it.
For Montez specifically, I like the fact that, you know, the game on Sunday was a good example of him doing a bit of both, where he was condensing the pocket a lot. And what was interesting was the times he got matched up with their hulking tight end, Darnell Washington. He did start with a bit of power, but he actually used some finesse on Washington to get to the edge. So normally the inclination for a defensive end would be, oh, here's this tiny tight end. I'm just going to run him over and work my way to the quarterback or running back. All right, you're either going to cut my legs out, because if you don't, then I'm just running over the top of you like you're not here. For Montez, he saw the 310-pound tight end, and he did go to more speed. He used his long levers to kind of unweight the blocker and then immediately got to the edge of Darnell Washington. The effort has rarely, if ever, been a concern for Montez Sweat, but the style of pass rush is a part of what negates his playmaking ability, because he so consistently condenses the pocket with power. But we're seeing now him getting more to a point consistently where after he presses the pocket back, he uses his levers to get rid of that blocker and put himself in a mode, in a position to make plays.
So that style of defensive end that goes to the middle of the body first, is it rare for that style of defensive end to get paid at the highest level in the NFL? Because with that payment comes the expectation
of
sacks.
Right, that you're going to be a sack artist. Yeah. It's a really good question. When you look at the top paid guys in the sport, they're usually guys who put up huge sack numbers. That's where internally, I'm fairly confident it's a different discussion about Montez Sweat than the one we're having externally. Now, I agree. I think that they've paid Montez Sweat like a guy who's supposed to be a sack artist. So that's the expectation that's been set. And I'm glad. I'm happy for him, happy for the Bears, happy for the Bears defense that his sack numbers are improving. But he's had one double-digit sack career in his entire career. He's always been a really above-average player, but he's never been a sack artist. But he's always been a really well-respected defensive end.
So next question, because he's that kind of rusher where he goes into the body, does that make him better against the run than some other defensive ends, the Crosby types or whatever, because he is at least creating a wall and linebackers can make plays behind him?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, for this style of defense, for what they're doing now versus Matt Eberflus, like Austin Booker was the type of guy that would have been well suited for a Matt Eberflus defense. It's looking for that defensive front to get penetration, to get off the ball and fly into the backfield.
Yeah.
One gap, just play the run on the way to the quarterback. Stylistically, this defense is different. And this suits Montez Sweat better.
That makes sense.
Because he likes to rush to power, because he plays, he defends the run well.
And we've always heard that Dennis Allen wanted defensive ends like that. When we transitioned from Eberflus to Allen in the offseason, remember hearing like, oh no, he likes defensive ends who can go one-on-one, and this is why Montez is a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like he's not... He moves much better than a Cameron Hayward does, but as far as a guy in alignment who kind of lines up tight on the offensive tackle, what we term as like a heavy five, to be able to tighten the alignment down like that and play into the blocker, Cam Hayward has always done that really well in Pittsburgh. Cam Jordan does that some in New Orleans, what he's done with the Saints over the years and what he did for Dennis Allen in the years that DA was there.
It's interesting.
Stylistically, Montez Sweat is a very physical defensive end. He can sack the quarterback, and he's getting to the point where he's doing it again this year, but his sack numbers aren't going to be as consistent just because his style of play doesn't really, you know, sort of formulate into being a sack artist.
This is the value of having guys like Ant Heron on staff, on air, because we're learning nuance about defensive end, even for a guy that's been here a couple years. I think some of that nuance, and I'm sure you've always been saying it, but maybe it was harder to hear when he was signed, because I think with that signing comes the instant expectation. Well, now we got a guy. Here's our Myles Garrett. Where's my 15 sacks?
Right. And that first season, when he came over from the Commanders, and you see all the playmaking and everything, this makes perfect sense.
Yep.
But I don't think it's always going to be there.
But it's you've helped us understand the value of Montez Sweat and why he's playing so well. It's Spiegs and Ann Heron on the Spiegel and Holmes Show here on 670 The Score. Coming up next, your chance to win two tickets to our show with Matt Forte in the midst of our conversation with Matt Forte. That's next on The Score.
You know, that Tez factor that I called the other day, or that Tez effect.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.